The name of the sermon this morning is Priorities of a Faithful Christian. We are taking a brief break from Romans. We're almost done with our study in the book of Romans, and it's been just a joy for me to preach through it. Hope you've enjoyed it as well, but I really felt led to preach something different this week. So, Priorities of a Faithful Christian from James chapter 1, but we're going to be in a lot of different areas of the Bible. But we're going to be talking about being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And so I always strive as your pastor to be completely transparent with you. And this has been a sort of a difficult week for a thousand different reasons. Just been a tough week. And every week as I'm preparing, I pray, Lord, help me to receive this message before I dare preach it to anybody else. And he always does. But this one in particular, I need to hear it so bad. I have been so focused on doing what I need to do this week that I have neglected to spend time with the Lord the way that I need to. And I know some of you can relate to that, and we may have good intentions. We may have every plan and desire to spend time with the Lord before we do anything else, but then life throws curves like it often does, and you get busy trying to do what needs to get done. And that's kind of where I'm at this morning. God is good, and he has been ministering to me last night and this morning, because sometimes I stand in this pulpit and I just feel completely inadequate, overwhelmed, unprepared, but I am thankful that God is not limited by my weakness. His strength is not limited at all. And so we're going to be heavy in the word today, because I want the word to speak to our hearts.
Amen.
And I need to hear this just as much as anybody else does. We're talking about being doers of the word, not just hearers. Now, access to the word is not something that we have a problem with in this country. We have access to God's word. We got plenty of access. Most of us have heaps of Bibles at home sitting on shelves, right? We've all, if you've got a smartphone, you got a Bible there. We all hear Sunday school lessons. We all hear sermons. We have access to God's word. But, so that means we can hear God's word, right? But are we doing something to respond to the truth that we're hearing from God's word? Are we hearing it, or are we hearing it and doing it in response? There's a huge difference between the two. If we're just hearers only, we're falling so short of what God calls us to do as believers. Are you doing something to respond to the truth that God's speaking to you through the word? If your answer is yes, praise God. I hope that this sermon will just encourage you to keep on keeping on. Right? I hope that it'll be confirmation that, hey, I'm doing the right thing. I'm staying in the word. So I hope that it'll just encourage you. But if the answer is no, then I hope that this encourages you, because today can be the day that we make that right. Today can be the day that we say, hey, I've failed in this area before, but I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world, and I'm going to hold on to Jesus. This can be our wake-up call to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word as well.
Amen.
Right? And if we will do that, we can experience a closeness with God like we've never felt before. And I promise you, that's better than any feeling that you get from a person or a ball game or fill in the blank. The presence of God, feeling close to God, is so much better than all those things.
Amen.
And He is not running, He's not hiding. And if we're not feeling His presence, it's not because He's not there and He's not reaching out to us. And all we've got to do, like the prodigal son, is come back home. Come back home to Him. Turn back to Him. So we can experience a closeness with God. We can be used by God. I'm praying that the church will wake up and not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, and we can be used by Him to build His kingdom. And if we can see people in our lives, family members, neighbors, friends, co-workers, classmates, we can see lives changed forever. But the key is going to be walking closely with the Lord in faith and in obedience. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be a part of something like that. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to just sit back and wait on heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. But I want to be used by God in this life for however long I've got left.
Amen.
Don't you? Don't y'all?
Amen.
All right. Before we turn to the scriptures, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, now at this time we get to open Your word. I pray that Your word would speak in power to every heart, to every mind that's in this place, that's watching on Facebook. I pray, God, that You would speak with authority. I pray that every heart would be tender. I pray that every mind would be receptive and that we would hear from You. I pray, God, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would move and You would call them into faith, into a relationship with You. For those that do know You, God, I pray that You would strengthen them, equip them to live lives that honor You. And God, just bless this church and help us to live for You and to give You glory each and every day. We love You, God. We ask this in Your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we will be in James in just a second. I've got passages that we would usually have on the screens, but I'm just going to read to you. And we're talking about priorities of a faithful Christian. And we're talking about being doers of the word. So we're really talking about obedience. We're talking about not just hearing, but obeying what God tells us. All right? So I want to start with a familiar passage here. Numbers. This is Moses as the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. They had not taken the promised land yet. They were thirsty. They were begging for water. And so God tells Moses how they can receive water. And then we'll see in this situation, was Moses a hearer and a doer? Or was he just a hearer and then he did what he wanted? Because that's what most of us do. We hear, but then we still do what we want. Amen. Is anybody going to be honest enough to admit that? We hear the truth, but we still do what we want. Right. Let's see an example of that in Moses. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 says, "The entire Israelite community entered the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and they settled in Kadesh. Miriam died and was buried there. There was no water for the community, so they assembled against Moses and Aaron. The people quarreled with Moses and said, 'If only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here. Why have you led us up from Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's not a place of grain and figs and vines and pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting. They fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Moses and Aaron did the right thing. They were presented with a problem, and the text tells us that they left the people and went to God and fell down before him to find out how to go forward. So they were on the right track. Let's see what happens. Verse 7. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Take the staff and assemble the community. You and your brother Aaron are to speak." Y'all say speak.
Speak.
"You and your brother Aaron are to speak to the rock while they watch, and it will yield its water. You will bring out water for them from the rock and provide drink for the community and their livestock." So Moses and Aaron went to God. God spoke to them. They heard it. Now they go back to the people. Verse 9. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron summoned the assembly in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock for you?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff, so that abundant water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Now, what did God tell them to do to the community? To speak. They went and struck the rock. Now, the result was the same. God gave the water to the people. But they heard God, but did they do what God told them to do? No. So verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me." That's what it comes down to. When we disobey God, when we choose not to do what God tells us, it's a matter of trust. God said to them, "Because you did not trust me to demonstrate my holiness in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land I have given to them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and he demonstrated his holiness to them." God answered their request. He provided water. But because of the consequence, right? We teach our kids this, right? If you do something wrong, there's going to be a consequence for your action, right? We understand that as adults, if we break the law, there's a consequence, right? When we fail to do what God has told us to do as his people, there's a consequence. It may be something huge like this for Moses. It may be something smaller. It may be anything in your life, but there are consequences for failing to obey God's commandments. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25. "At that time I begged the Lord," Moses speaking, "Lord God, you have begun to show your greatness and your strong hand to your servant. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can perform deeds and mighty acts like yours? Please let me cross over and see the beautiful land on the other side of the Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon." Verse 26, "But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. The Lord said to me, 'That's enough. Do not speak to me again about this matter. Go to the top of Pisgah and look to the west, the north, the south, and the east, and see it with your own eyes, for you will not cross the Jordan.'" That was Moses' consequence. He had led the people out of Egypt. He had led them through the wilderness, and now he's on the very cusp of entering the promised land. And because of his disobedience, God said, You brought them this far, and you're not going any further. Joshua is going to lead the people in. There was a consequence for his disobedience, right? It is sad, and there is a consequence for our disobedience as well. All right, now our main passage, James chapter 1. Starting at verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." James says we deceive ourselves when we hear God's word and we don't obey it. We deceive ourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If we hear and we don't do, we deceive ourselves. If we do what he tells us, we are blessed. It's really pretty simple when you boil it down like that. I want to share one more passage here as an introductory, getting this thing started. I've shared it many times. This is in Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 13, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." See, Jesus was very honest. He was so honest that as you read through the Gospels, he says things. You know, modern church culture is do whatever you do, got to do to get them in the door and keep them there, right? Entertain them. We got to get people in the door. Butts in the seats, right? That's the philosophy. Jesus did not have that philosophy. Jesus told the truth. Jesus gave the truth, which gives real hope that everybody needs. And many times he would say something and people would turn away because they could not take that truth, right? It was too hard. He says, many are going to go through the easy, broad road and gate that leads to destruction. Why are so many people going to go through that? Because it's easy. The Christian life is actually hard.
Amen.
You know, there some preachers say, hey, you know, just trust in the Lord and you won't have any problems anymore. You'll be blessed, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Right? But Jesus says that the road is hard and few find it. You drop down to verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons? Some people will probably say, Lord, didn't I preach a lot of sermons in your name? Verse 23, "Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers." The reason I think it's so important for us to know and understand what the priorities are for a faithful Christian is so that none of us stands before God someday with a false sense of security and has to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I want all of us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we stand before God, we have been reconciled to Him through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only hope we have.
Amen.
It's the only thing that will keep us from being separated from God for eternity. Three priorities for a faithful Christian. I'm going to go ahead and give you all three, and then we'll work through them. Number one, take in the Word. Take in the Word of God. Number two, submit to God's authority over your life. Number three, obey His commands. Take in the Word, submit to His authority, obey Him. That should be the priority of every believer.
Amen.
So let's start with number one, take in the Word. For the Christian, there really shouldn't be anything in our lives that we treasure more than God's Word. Should be no possession, no person, no anything that we treasure more than God's Word. If we truly understand who He is, what He's done for us, and what a gift this Word is. This Word is the God of the universe speaking to us. And it's a gift. I think we've shown the video in here before a couple years ago. There's a video that I can't help but think of some Asian believers that were receiving Bibles. And they, as they were receiving these Bibles, written in their language that they could read, understand, they were weeping and praising God. They were clutching these Bibles just like they were holding one of their kids. And they were so thankful for the Word of God. And that has always really haunted me in the back of my mind, because I have such easy access to it and so much less affection for it. And I pray that between now and whenever my name gets called to go and be with the Lord, I pray that my affection for the Word of God will just grow and grow and grow. And I pray the same thing for every one of you.
Amen.
Psalm 119, 105 said, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's what the Word of God is, and I like that imagery. For a Christian to go about their day without the Word of God is like a person stumbling around in the dark.
Hallelujah.
The Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We need the Word. We need it every day. We need to be studying the Word on our own. So you think about, okay, we're in here together for a little over an hour, hour and a half if the pastor gets carried away, right? Wednesday night's another hour. If you've got a Sunday school class, you got about an hour before that. And if you don't have a Sunday school class, I would love for you to find one, because it's such a great place to grow, is in a smaller group together like that. But if you put all that together, we're talking about together, corporately, maybe three and a half hours in a week. And then you think of the other things, the amount of time that we put towards those things. Maybe it's our job or a hobby or some responsibility that we have. And you start comparing, okay, so I spent 50 plus hours on my job this week. I spent 20 plus hours on my hobby this week. I spent this many hours on this week. And if all you get of the Word is in here on Wednesday nights, maybe in Sunday school, then you got 3 hours. We're always taking in messages from the world around us. And if we're putting in this much of God's Word and we're taking in this much of the world, How could that not affect us? How could that not affect our walk? It has to. It has to affect us, right?
Amen.
We need the word every day. Together, in here, on our own, we've got to be in the word. We've got to take in the word. You can't do the word if you don't hear the word, right?
Amen.
You don't read the word if you're not exposed to the word. You got to take in God's word. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, 24 and 25. Let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Church is not just a box to check off, right? That's what cultural Christianity is. You know, we live in the Bible Belt. It's just a, hey, I'm going to be able to say I did that. Right? Church should be so much more than that. God's Word says that we are not to neglect the habit of gathering together. Not because you need to hear another talk from me. What you need to hear from, what I need to hear from, is from God's Word. But there's more to it than that. It says we're to watch out for one another. We're to provoke love and good works in one another. We're to encourage each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? Monday? No. The day of the Lord. Right? There's a day coming. We need to be encouraging each other. We need to stay in the Word, and we need to stay together. We need to be in the Word together as well. Isaiah 55:11. Well, verse 10. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout, providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to be empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. Now, for a pastor, those are beautiful, encouraging words. Because I know no matter how bad I might have a tendency to mess stuff up, God's word never returns void.
Amen.
So as long as we're faithful to proclaim this word, it's never going to come back void. It's never going to come back empty. It's never going to come back without accomplishing exactly what God wants it to. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to take in the word. That's the first priority of a faithful Christian. Number two, we got to submit to God's authority over our lives. We got to submit to God's authority. You think about the imagery that's used in the Bible to describe God and just to describe man, right? He's the potter, we're the clay. Who has the authority there? The potter. He controls what happens to the clay. He has the authority. The Bible tells us he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. Do the sheep march the shepherd around? No. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd is the authority in that relationship. Right? We got to submit to God's authority. That's not always easy to do. Sometimes we fail at it. Sometimes instead of falling down in God's presence on my knees, I get busy trying to fix whatever's messed up. I see some heads nodding. Somebody can relate. We got to submit to God's authority daily. Right? That wasn't a walk an aisle, pray a prayer, don't want to go to hell, God, save me a place in heaven, see you in hopefully 50, 60, 70 years. You say, who in the world would think something like that? There's a whole bunch of people that live like that. They might not ever say it out loud, but that's what their life preaches. Yeah, I prayed a prayer. Now I'm going to kick back and wait on heaven. We got to daily submit to God's authority over us.
Amen.
John chapter 10, 25. Jesus is confronted by some of the Jews in the colonnade at the temple, and they basically say, all right, Jesus, cut to the chase. Are you the man or not? Are you the one we've all been looking for years and years and years and years? Are you the one the prophets talked about? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus says in verse 25, I did tell you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. There's no authority greater than God. Not government. Not any authority. God is the authority. My Father is greater than all. Them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You know, the word Trinity is not actually found in Scripture, but the proof that we serve and love a triune God is all over the Bible. May not say that word, but the proof is there. Jesus, the Son of God, and the Father are one. It's one God, three persons. Is that easy to understand? No, that's... I can't wrap my mind around that. But I believe it. I trust in it because it's in God's Word. Galatians 2:20. Beautiful verse. Convicting verse. Galatians 2:20. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
I love that. There's the truth of God's authority. My life's not my own. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. He lives in me. But there's the gospel. It says that Jesus gave his life for me, for you. We got to submit to God's authority over our lives. We can do lots of things that on the outside appear to be good, but if we're not submitting to God's authority, it's a waste. We're just going through the motions. We got to take in God's word, we got to submit to his authority, and then finally, we got to obey his commands. We've got to obey his commands. The church at some point began, and I mean the church all over the place, not just here. Preachers began to emphasize our imperfections as believers to the point, and we are imperfect, completely imperfect. We bring nothing on our own, right? But we began to emphasize that and not emphasize the glory and holiness and grace of God. We emphasized it so much to the point that I believe that A lot of believers think that living obediently is impossible. It's an impossible standard to live up to, so why try? Like I said before, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Can I do it on my own? Absolutely not. The Bible tells us that Jesus sent a comforter. When he ascended into heaven, he said, I send a comforter to you, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is able to work in us and through us. Are we going to be perfectly obedient? No. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek every day to obey him and to trust the Spirit and to trust his leading. To have faith that God can do what we can never do on our own. Amen?
Amen.
In Luke 11, I like this. Luke 11, 27. Jesus is speaking, healing, doing all kinds of things in this crowd of people. Verse 27, as he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you. And he said, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Hallelujah.
You want to be blessed? Take in the word, submit to God's authority, obey his command. Jesus, take it from Jesus. You don't have to take it from me. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. All right, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I've come to know him, and yet doesn't keep his commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Saw an illustration this week that kind of paints this picture. There's a father and a son, and they traveled to a small western town. They were looking for an uncle that they had never laid eyes on, never met. They just knew he was there, and they went to this town to look for him. As they're walking through this busy town square, suddenly the dad yells out, there goes my uncle. That's him. I know him anywhere. The son is amazed. We've never met this guy, Dad. How do you know it's him if you've never seen him before? And he says, well, son, I know him because he walks exactly like my father. He recognized the guy because he recognized that walk, right? The world ought to be able to see God in us, and they will if we'll walk as he walked.
Amen.
They'll recognize hope in a hopeless world. Even if they never walk into a sanctuary, if we will walk as he walked. Everywhere we go, people ought to be able to see the love of God in us. Amen?
Amen.
So why does any of this matter? You know, if the Bible says that you accept Jesus and you go to heaven, and I've done that, why does any of this matter? Why is this so important? A couple of different reasons that this is so important. It matters because we're not going to experience the joy that God created us to experience if we just go through the motions and we're far from him. We'll never experience that joy. We can even find little seasons of joy and pleasure in worldly things, but we'll never feel that joy that stays there in our lives no matter how good or how bad our situation is. That's what the joy of the Lord is. It's not dependent on if I've had a good day or a bad day. It's there. We'll never experience that if we don't obey what he told us to do, if we're hearers only and not doers of the word. It also matters because we can't do what God has called us to do if we're not faithfully obedient. It's that old imagery of an old water hose that gets a kink in it, and the water can't get out anymore. When we get a kink in our hose, that keeps, God doesn't go anywhere. He's still there. But we can't, it interrupts our fellowship with him. Right? But most importantly, the reason that this matters is because God deserves everything, all that we have, and so much more. If I gave him everything I have, every second I've got left, it wouldn't be near enough. God is more holy than we can understand. He is more forgiving than we deserve. He's more loving than we can possibly imagine. That's the God we serve. This world desperately needs to see the love of God in his people. And my prayer is that I will truly grasp how important it is not to just hear, but to do what his word tells us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.